Thank you, worship team, and thank you, God's people, for lifting your voice in song. Oh, thank you. Beautiful it is to sing of his praise and glory. Oh, man, it's so good. There are times where my life is distracting on Sunday mornings. To give it all to the Lord, to say, Lord, give me strength to do it again. It's just real life. And so I'm grateful to worship with God's people on today. Well, we are last week of a series called Family Values. We kind of made this a topical series, walking through who you are becoming in whatever season you're in, whether you are married or parenting or grandparenting. And this week is how about in that season of singleness. And before we do that, we got a Bible affirmation we do around here. We're going to put it on the screen. If you care to do that with us, let's do it together. It says, this is God's word. I want to know it. I want to love it. I want to learn from it. Lord, Lord, let me hear from you today. Amen and amen. Well, as I said, we talked about marriage and parenting and children, and this week, we get to close with singleness, and then we got another couple series coming up, which I am excited about, which you hear about more this week. But why close with singleness? Pastor, why does that matter? Are you sure? And I think I want to help shape our biblical theology around the season of life we all face. But what is it about singleness does the Lord use or grow us in or change? Someone said about this at a party. They said, I like being single because I always am there when I need me. Thank you. Or another one said, there is only one thing harder than living alone, and that is to live with another person. So for those of you who are married in the room, this is not a message to say, see, honey, God has told me singleness is coming for us. This is not for that. Or maybe you were there for a season or you were there right now where you have been told just to keep waiting because God is writing your story. And one says, well, it feels great to know that he's writing my story, but it feels like he's stuck on chapter 4. And the plot is moving very slowly. Or the last one, the perfect setup, right? Where we all have that friend, and I am guilty of that, where I try to set up friends who are single and well-meaning people or elders in the church, and they try to set you up because two reasons. One, you're single. Two, you're breathing. But singleness. Singleness is not a lesser family status to be endured until you reach real life. I would argue it is a full and honored membership in the family of God. One, that is to be received as a gift, stewarded within the season as a calling, not a category. Not to be achieved, not to be apologized for, and not to be put on hold. Because if you're like me, if you have spent any time in front of a television in the last 30 years, you have already have a theology around singleness that maybe you didn't fully shape from the scriptures. It shows like Friends, or How I Met Your Mother, or New Girl. Not telling you should go watch any of those shows. But on screen, single life looks like this. Unlimited coffee, an apartment that none of those characters can truly afford, and a soulmate who is just one elevator ride away. But in real life, single life looks like loads of laundry, a full calendar, someone at the family gathering or in the workplace again asking you over and over again, are you sure you're not ready to settle down? And if we examine the culture, before we look through God's word, culture hands us three quiet lies about singleness, and maybe most of us has believed them at least one without even realizing or saying it out loud, lie number one is this: if you're single, then that makes your relationship status public property. That means anyone can ask any questions, give you advice, and analyze whatever season you're in. Or lie number two: if you are single for any reasons, this means because it has to be, you're selfish. You just don't want to share. You're free from the real obligations that make maybe married people feel noble. Or lie number three: if you're single, it could be because you're just really immature and you really haven't fully grown up yet. And marriage is going to be that graduation, and right now you're still enrolled in class 101. But not all of that survives contact when you really get to know the singles in God's family. And I know for those I know, they are the most sacrificial people within the church. And if you look at church in a whole, God has used singles ministry and people for his glory. They are the ones who at times take lower paying jobs because it lets them serve the kingdom better. Those are the ones who babysit a young family who's married so they can have date night. They are the one who will take a 2 a.m. crisis call to go be with a friend who's having a hardship. They are the one who spend their vacation times going to other people's wedding or baby showers and investing in other people's family than they can plan their own. You see, the maturity there was not about a status. It was using the calling and the season they're in to give God's glory. And if you think I made all that up, look at the ground we're under, because I think it's shifting faster than you realize. The latest U.S. Census data that was released last winter shows that fewer than half of American households, 47% to be exact, are now married. Think about it. 50 years ago, it was 2 out of 3. Culture has changed, where nowadays the typical man marries before his 30th or his 31st birthday, and the typical woman just past her 28th birthday. And those are now being called record highs. We're nearly 40 million Americans now live alone for some reason. And whatever we think about marriage or whatever we think about singleness, we're not talking about a side issue for a handful of 20-something of them who are sitting in the back row. No, we're talking about how do you walk through a season that will nearly or has nearly touched everyone in this room. Maybe it was for a year, maybe it's for a decade, or maybe it's for a lifetime. And too often, the church as a whole has made walking through single maybe a little harder than it has been easy. Because research also shows that single adults within the church who finds themselves walking with Christ, 3 out of 4 will say they have never heard a message preached from the pulpit about singleness. Almost 70% or so. But because we are a family of God, hear me, one is a whole number. And we are one in Christ, whether you are single or married, whether you have children or non-children. Since singleness is a gift from God, hear me, it is good and it is to be used for his glory. Let's start there with our theology of singleness. For those who face singleness, whether it's because of circumstances, whether it's because of a death of a spouse, whether it's just because of the season you are in, God says it is a gift from God, it is good, and it should be used for his glory. But here's the reality of singleness that we're going to walk through some various scriptures, is this: life or living through singleness does come with challenges. And those are real issues, church, that the church should be corralling and shepherding and encouraging and seeing where they are, because you cannot pretend that singleness is at all easy, because pretending it kind of makes it dishonest within a family that should work together. You see, singleness can carry a real sense of loneliness, a real sense of longing, a real sense of grief over what hasn't happened, but also a deep grief of what has happened in their life. But here's where we need to unlearn. Where we believe marriage is absolutely beautiful, God ordained, I will die on that hill. Marriage was never meant to be the carrot that we dangle in front of ourselves as a reward towards holiness. thinking if God only blessed people with a spouse, once they are fully good enough, then that wedding day comes. But what if I told you, God's word, this is going to be our first scripture, whether you are married or single, we all get to participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Go over to Revelation chapter 19. And I'll be bouncing around a little bit today. Look at 19, verses 6 through 9. And then I heard what seemed to be a loud voice, a great multitude, like a roaring of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride had made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this down, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Hear me, whether you are married or singleness, for those who believe, we all will have this guarantee being in Christ. So here are some of the challenges. And it cuts the same way for every person in this room or watch it online, married or not. Living through singleness comes with its challenges. So here's the encouragement. For those of you who find yourself single, now if you're married in the room, you already had your message a couple weeks ago. Don't tune this out. Okay? Because I'm going to encourage you to send this to someone in your circle or your life, or maybe someone you may encounter who is walking through a season of singleness. Singles in the room, here's my advice to you. Grow where you are. Grow where you are. I know the culture tells us, oh, honey girl or big boy, get yourself together, get your money right, get your money up. Oh, get emotionally healthy before someone else comes into your life. Some of those things are true. How about you want to set your feet on a path that honors the Lord in the best way possible before anyone comes into your life that you will love or will love you? Singles, grow where you are. Whether God is using a spouse to sanctify you or God is using a season of singleness to sanctify you, we are all on the same journey towards becoming like Christ. And marriage and singleness both hand us a unique trial, both hand us a unique opportunity to do one thing, to become like him. And there will be unique opportunities on both sides. Married or single, which the reward is greater, was never going to depend on your marital status. It depends on how you respond to what you have been given. And this is no new idea, church. You think about the logic of the book of Proverbs. We're going over to Proverbs next, where at this point, wisdom was not rationed out based on a wedding date. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Go to chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It says this, keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter to the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it and do not go in it. Turn away from it and pass it on. Like at this point, what we learn about wisdom, it is offered freely right now to whoever one it is within reach. And I think what this can shape about singleness is this. It tears down the artificial walls that maybe we have built around married people and unmarried people. That doesn't help the single adults feel more welcome. It actually gives us more allies in the fight that we can become like Jesus, even in singleness. Think about this. Here's a story. I can illustrate this a little more. I remember several years ago, I went with a friend to a jewelry counter. He was buying a ring for his fiance, now his wife. I go with other friends. I don't have money to buy a ring, so I'm like, ooh, I want that too one day. And so I remember going with him, and he's picking out his ring, and the jeweler says something I should never forget, and it's probably not the same exact words. It was many years ago. And so I asked, so why are some, you know, you got the cut, the clarity, the cow, the costs, the career, all the C's you got to do, the crying when you see the price. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hopefully I'll be there soon. I am back in the dating world by God's grace, and she's a wonderful, wonderful girl. But he said something that I should never forget. I said, so why are some rings set with just one stone? They call us a solitaire, okay? Solitaire, I'm like, oh yeah, I play solitaire with my grandma. I know exactly what that means. Like, I'm trying to move one card to the next. No, this is a solitaire. I'm like, great, okay. And he said, this is a solitaire instead of a cluster, right? I'm like, okay, that's good to know. And he said this, answer my question, why is one set? He says, because the whole setting is built to do one thing, make the single stone impossible to ignore. And at that point, a solitaire isn't an unfinished engagement ring waiting for more diamonds to make it perfect. It's not just irrelevant. It's not incomplete. The entire design says this doesn't need company to make it whole. Amen. That the cut, the set, was made so that when it puts in place, it stands on its own. And so for singles in the room, again, whether that is a season by choice, whether it's a season by death, this is not just a bad picture of your life if you're single today. You are not a setting waiting for a second stone by God's design until you finally count. He doesn't set solitaires aside and say, hey, I'll stick this in the drawer. Maybe when the right one comes, I'll make it into the perfect cluster. No, some lives for a season or for a lifetime, hear me, were cut and set and lit by him to stand completely on their own. And hear me, this is not a consolation prize. You know what this is? This is craftsmanship. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, you want to talk about the beautiful craftsmanship? This is for all persons in the room. I mean, look at verses 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. He does not say for your marriage status you've been saved through faith. For your singleness you've been saved through faith. For your male or your femaleness you've been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not a work of your doing. This is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You want to talk about craftsmanship? He says it right here. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared before that we may walk in him. This is his craftsmanship. I mean, look through the scriptures. Maybe you can recall some singleness. You got a good list within the Bible who God had used mostly, and we can find their singleness everywhere. They're not just on the margins. Think about this. Jesus, mic drop, or John the Baptist, or the widow Anna, or Dorcas, or Lydia, or Daniel, Jeremiah, Naomi, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Martha, Miriam, the $4 of Philip in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul himself, were either singled or widowed his entirety of what we know as his recorded ministry. If singleness were spiritual second string, then let me say God picked the odd roster. Singles, take heart. God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly the season you are in. And your job, my job, is to use it for his glory. And whether it work out in our favor or not, how we want it to, we're going to use it for his glory. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Now, as a concession, not as a command, I say this. I wish that all were as myself him. But each has his own gift from God, one of a kind and one of another. Verse 8, to the, he names it, unmarried, and to the widows, This is where it gets hard. Hold on, Paul. I say that, and it's good for them to remain single as I am. What did Paul base that on? Paul had an incredible opportunity to expand God's kingdom in ways to where maybe being married would have limited him. Not because he would have hated being married, of course. For those of you who are married, you don't hate being married until they leave the toilet seat up or don't wash the dishes or leave the socks all over the floor. Like, then there's that moment. But Paul's saying, no, like, there's been a great opportunity here for me to plant churches and to be what God is doing. And I'm sure he would say the same thing for those of you who are married. You got a chance to expand God's kingdom. But if you cannot exercise self-control, then they should marry, for it is better for to marry than to burn with passion. Look at verse, drop down to 17. This is kind of that Ephesians piece again, where you live as you would call it. Only let each person lead the life, what does it say? That the Lord has assigned to him, to which God has called him. He's talking to this, all of these churches, and he addressed this head on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where if you've done some study in the book, in the book of Corinth, where the Corinthian church was crippled by divisions, by lawsuits, by sexual immorality, and absolutely confusion. And they had it wrong about marriage. And some were saying, well, celibacy was truly a spiritual path, and marriage should absolutely be abandoned. Where the others swung the opposite direction and downplayed singleness altogether, as if you are not saved at all, and you are not walking with the Lord. And Paul answers both sides of this, where he starts now concerning these matters. He's right. He lands on something rather than this fraction that they wanted to hear, that both marriage and singleness are legitimate. He says they are both good gifts from God, and each has their own gift from God. No, not one of them, but one kind to another, that they have their place. And I think maybe today, maybe as we shape our theology or what this means to a life of single, Scripture actually names three categories of singleness, not one. Those who have never married, those who were married and lost a spouse, or those who got separated in divorce or separation. And you can look in Matthew chapter 19, verses 9 through 12 for that. Where in every case, each category carries a particular weight. Where each category is addressed by name in God's word, and it is not meant to be lumped together and passed over. And so, to those who are singling and mingling and waiting, keep honoring the Lord in that. I know trends today, you would have never thought in 50 years ago, you can open up your phone and swipe left and right, up and down, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, and have a date by 5 o'clock today. If you're in that space, the wisdom of God's word, stand for something biblical. Don't fall for the first catch. I've got a chance to marry some who met online, and it's beautiful. It is not the evil or the enemy, and you are not to be called just waiting by the church door, waiting for that pretty girl or that handsome guy to come in. Like, maybe that person is out there. So use wisdom. Know your finances, because some of these subscriptions cost a lot of money and are wasteful. Use wisdom. But also in that waiting, continue to seek the Lord. And we're going to get to some practical tips at the end. Okay, how about he says to the ones who lost a spouse, and you now find yourself single. You've honored the commitment of marriage. And I don't know what the Lord says when we get to heaven. If it's servant, well done, or hey, your room is to the left. If you need more towels, let me know. I don't know what he says. Come and worship me, fix your eyes upon me, all gonna be beautiful. But wouldn't it be cool to know that as your spouse has arrived in heaven, the Lord is cherished and relished to say, you look more like me because of your spouse. What a beautiful thing. And I hope someday, as the Lord bless me with another, I look more like him because of my spouse. And maybe there is a season of healing. And maybe there's a season of waiting. And maybe there is a season of no more marriage. That I don't know. That's you following the Lord and seeking counsel and going to grief share and having people in your life who've walked similar paths with you to speak into that. You are not worthless in that season. And then the scriptures talks about, you know, the one who's walked through the separation and divorce. And that is a painful path that some have walked in this room or watching this online. Whether it was willingly or whether it was through some abuse and some hardships, and I pray you find healing. You know that your worth was not in that person. Your worth was in the Lord. Amen. And your healing is coming. Or for those who remarry because of a nasty divorce, God used that season for his glory, whatever season you are in. And what Paul does, his own defense of singleness in this chapter, assumes something important. That the single person will also be devoted to the Lord's affairs. Just like a married person will. Like, how cool is that? I started with the big idea of this message is singleness does not make you a lesser member in the family of God. He says they're going to be devoted to the affairs of the Lord, publicly and privately, professionally or simply in an ordinary rhythms of life. They're going to walk with the Lord. Singleness was never framed here as an empty waiting room. It was framed as undivided availability. Here's a story of that. It was in 1895. There was a young Irish girl named Amy Carmichael. She arrived in India, and she never left, not once to even go visit home and see her family. And what she did over the next 50 years is pretty remarkable. She founded what became a fellowship house that rescues hundreds of children from temple prostitution and trafficking. And she gave her whole life, to her, all the way to her adult life, to this work without even marrying. And she was known for a settled conviction that undivided devotion simply doesn't leave the room, but left their hearts healing. And at this point, her work, or the work that the Lord was doing to her, required her, gave her an opportunity that in the beauty of her singleness, God used it in a mighty way. And she didn't treat her singleness or her unmarried life as delay before her real calling started. No. It was her calling. It was her start. It was her jam in which the Lord was using. Maybe you find yourself there. And I know, Tay, you can encourage me all you want. I want, I want, I want. And may the Lord give you that desire if that is his will. But maybe in that wanting, the there but not yet, God is calling you to something bigger than yourself. Drop down 1 Corinthians chapter 7 where you are. Look at verse 32. Look what he says, 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things and how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but promote good order to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And in short, Paul says, you want to worry about one thing that matters, how your walk with the Lord and how your heart to him is. Are you trusting his plan and trusting his way? He says, it's going to be a lot of things you worry about. We're not going to waste our time on them. We are going to focus. How do we steward the season we're in? So the outcome of singleness can be a beautiful season to focus on Christ and his work. Singles in the room, breathe. Hear that. Enjoy that. There is a working in what God is doing. You're anxious about things we don't know. While we look at the glass house and say, they have to have it all together, it's beauty. They're also anxious about things they don't know. Paul says the outcome here, it's going to be a beautiful season to focus on Christ and his work. Now, where does singleness fit into all of this? If marriage was designed to show off Christ's love and devotion to the church, maybe then singleness was designed to show off the church's love and devotion to Christ. You see, marriage, as it seems, to uniquely highlight the love and the devotion of Christ to his church, seen in the love and the devotion of a husband and a wife, singleness seems to uniquely highlight the church's love and devotion to Christ, seen in every single's exclusive passion to pleasing him. Deep commitments to want to please the bridegroom. Deep commitment to want to walk with him. And this is likely why scripture is replete with imagery of singleness and virginity as a metaphor for the love and the devotion of God's people. Jump back over to Revelation chapter 14. Here's just one example. Chapter 14, verse 4. And it is those who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Those have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth there is no lie found, and they were found blameless. This is a beautiful imagery. You may say, well, that was not prescriptive to singles. Let's develop this thought more. That the beautiful imagery of singleness here is this. It is those who have not defiled themselves, but who have followed the Lamb, those who have been redeemed from mankind, the first fruits, through the single person's commitment to follow Christ, wherever he or she goes, especially through suffering or refraining from marital or sexual intimacy, the commitment is to Christ, and the whole church is called to clearly illustrate this. Meaning, we drop our idols, we drop our desires, well, singleness with a purpose is looking with pure intentions to only please the Lord. So, your singleness, friends, still bears a meaningful imprint of God. It's fine to use the word single to describe someone's marital status, but it becomes a problem the moment we let it describe someone's worth. Can I remind you who you were made in the image of? It was not red bottoms and pompous dresses and good tuxedos and good shoes that make you look attractive to the human eye. You were made in the image of God. And in that image, he gives you dignity and he gives you value that nothing has to do with anyone who has proposed to you or is loving you. If you are in Christ, you are already made enough. You are already made love. You've already made a child to a father. Your sins have already been forgiven. Your purpose has already been set to live for his glory and for your good. And you get to do that in a family forever of brothers and sisters. And so, church, let's get loving singles right. Let's propel them to continue to serve. Singles, this is a call in your life where you should be serving the church. You should be using your skills and your talents for advancing God's kingdom. It bears a beautiful image. We see that when we spent some time, when we did some reading through the book of Galatians, right, where he talks about you were now illegal, now you are a legal, permanent, no take back, adopted child of the King. And Paul says, this is what happens to every believer who are in Christ. You now have what we call sonship in the family of God. It is not guaranteed at an altar on a wedding day. It is guaranteed at the cross, and it is guaranteed for you. Son and daughter. And so, closing thought. A new view of singleness then should be seen as a calling, not as identity. See it as a calling, the Lord is using this. He will use me in this season greater than I can ever think or imagine. Singleness glorifies God by communicating a message that love and devotion to Christ is primary and eternal. Stick your flag in that, you single folks. That when that trumpet sounds, married or not, we get to be with our Savior. Amen. And the cross is the one thing that has made that equal playing ground. So you are not less. You are not devalued. You do not have less dignity. God has used both. Marriage is a beautiful picture for his love for the church. Again, a hill I would die on. But also singleness does show us this great opportunity to commit to something greater than ourselves. It's John Piper who says this quote. It should be on the screen. He says, to be single in Christ, that's the key, because the world says when you're single, FOMO, go for it, keep going, do your thing. Piper says, to be single in Christ, therefore, not a falling short of God's best, but see it as a path of Christ exalting, covenant keeping obedience that many are called to walk. The church needs singles. The church needs married folks. Piper says, it is a path for you to learn how do you exalt Christ and be obedient to him in the season you are in. Let me give you some practical steps and then we'll be on our way. Here's a question I want to answer. What are some growing ways singles can live purposefully? Again, married people, don't tune this out. You may have a coffee meeting this week with someone who needs to hear these exact words. Number one, if this is you in the room, have a trusted or mature person who will listen to you but also will lift you. If you think about all the categories, never married, divorced, separated, lost, widow, widower, like you've expelled some emotions and some sadness and some wishes and some desires to some people, maybe to friends, but also a close person who will pray for you. But the advice is don't carry that alone. Like there is real challenges around being single. So get someone in your life who will see you in those hardships, who will not say, oh, honey, just keep praying. He or she is coming. Your knight in shiny armor is just around the corner. Like you want somebody who will listen, but also who will lift you. Find a person who's not trying to fix you, but they're going to listen to you and help you. That's one growing way. Growing way number two is find yourself daily abiding in the Lord. You don't get up with the identity of, here I go again, just the single janitor, and my life is worthless. Here I am, just the single pastor, and there's nothing there. No, I'm going to abide in the person and the work of the Lord. His will is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And someday, in the middle of all of our hardships, we have to learn to say this, it is well with my soul, even when it's not. You know what that takes? Daily, daily, daily abiding in the Lord. This is the ordinary, the unglamorous faithfulness to the Lord, even in the days when no one is watching. Is you and your Savior who has saved you, who have crafted you for good works. Number three, seek the kingdom. Like you want to make a big impact in your singleness, seek the kingdom. This is the opportunity where you choose the greatest mission outside of yourself. Hard, but it's going to be fruitful. Where you choose a mission that is bigger than yourself and you let your time and your ability serve you within the season you are in. It may not always be that way. And number four, hard but true, remain joyful. Not happy, right? Happiness is circumstantial. Joyful is, I got the joy of the Lord who calls me sons and daughters, so therefore I will be joyful. This is you guarding your joy, refusing to be in despair, refusing to pretend. Paul says, refusing to act in impurity. This is where you grieve with genuinely hardship, but also you celebrate what God is doing in your life right now. And so, friends, let me remind again, both crowds here, you're married or you're singleness, we are one in the Lord. And the Lord is using and shaping all lives to grow in Him. And someday, as we are placed in the family of faith forever, this is not something we achieve. This is something we will celebrate. We were all purchased by His blood for those of us who trust in Christ. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the singles or the widows or those who find themselves single to the front. And I want you to feel embarrassed or singled out. So I'm going to make myself available after church. Maybe again. This is a hard season for you. It's over and over again, or it's just so fresh. I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up. But right where you're sitting, I want you to pray silently. And maybe for those you know in your life who've walked through any of this, that one, they find their identity in the Lord. Can you pray for that first? Like, Lord, may they be so sold out for knowing you that they don't stop. That they got to be running so hard towards Jesus. And Jesus brings someone else in their path and be like, hey, you're running for the Lord. Like, let's keep doing it. And if He unites it, He unites it. If not, their aim is to please the Lord. Would you pray that prayer just right where you are? Lord, help those who are single. Maybe you don't know anybody in your life, but there's surely some in our church. Lord, help those who are single to find their identity in you. Would you pray that? Worship team, you can join me. Pray for the singles as you're praying, whose heart need to be healed. Like those who have walked through a very terrible, hard, nasty divorce, and it's depleted them. They feel so ashamed, so naked, so embarrassed. They hate their life. And believe me, I've counseled people with those words. They hate their life. Would you pray that the Lord will bring healing to their hearts? That Jesus would be enough. And then His timing, that He would replace it with someone who loves and adores them as they get to do with someone else. Thank you. And then pray for the other category, for those who've lost a spouse, who finds themselves single, not by their own plan. That when the nights are lonely or the planning of your life is now different and someone else enters into the joy of your heart,